going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, it's Nick and Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roar in every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle Juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. I'm Sam Gormley, he's Mick Nelson. Mick, how's it going up your way?
It's a little rainy today, but had a full day of college basketball. Having a full weekend. I know Sam has not missed a game.
No, of the
tournament so far. You're missing one right now, I guess. At least part of it.
Yeah, I can miss part of it.
What's even playing right now? Is it Alabama and
Alabama, St. Mary's? You've got Colorado State is playing Maryland, and then there's one more game that I think is about to tip off as we're recording this. But yeah, no, this for me though is. My favorite weekend of the entire year.
We were so close. I was so close to being right this afternoon.
I mean, I'll be honest. I thought that was one of the dumbest things you'd ever said. Or so to put things into perspective, you were all in on UConn beating Florida. And yeah. I'll be honest, when I heard you say that, I almost called. And we'll get to the Bengals here in a moment. We just got to talk a little bit about March Madness, but it was almost one of those things that like I had to call the insane asylum because I was like, you can't honestly believe that like Florida. Because to me, when you're looking
you're
at
doubt the two-time. I don't give a shit if they're an eighth seed. You're going to doubt defending champion.
To me, when you look at this, you look at two major factors when you're filling out a bracket in March. You look at who's hot and who has really good guards. And Florida checks both of those boxes. So that's why, to me, Florida is my easy pick to win the national championship. But I still think that they probably will. Duke looked pretty good today, but... hey, I'm just happy that my Cats won. That's what matters the most, and it wasn't too stressful of a game, which is even better. And now they get to play good old Tennessee on whenever that is on Friday. I think it's
Go Vols. Go Vols.
Why are you cheering for the Vol? Nobody
cheering on my bracket, I guess, in a sense. I got the Vols in the Final Four. We're not dead yet. We only have one quadrant busted. We're just one Florida loss away from being in the driver's seat of this thing. So
I am running away so we have an internal bracket pool with some people that we know. I'm running away with that. At least when I checked earlier, I've got a pretty decent lead, but I had a really good Thursday in brackets. Like I got the first eight games right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in like, you know, when I love the countdown that they do is it's like, oh, we've got you know, 7 million perfect brackets. Like, I was at least in one of those groups, and then it quickly. But I think I got like 27 to 32 or something. So it's pretty good. But okay, enough bracket talk, because that's not why people tune into this. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about it a little bit later on. On today's show, the big three is here to stay. You know, Burrow, Chase, Higgins, they're here for the future. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Trey Hendrickson watch continues. Not a whole lot to report on that, but we'll dive into a little bit of that. Lucas Patrick is the newest member of the Bengals, and then a little bit of a look forward as to what we're going to be doing over these next couple of weeks, because we get to dive now headfirst into the draft, because it's coming. I mean, I think the 23rd might be when it opens, or no, 23rd is the Wednesday before. So the draft is 1 week from tomorrow, I guess, if you're just doing 31 days, like a month. So it's April 24th, I believe, when it opens up. But we invite you to follow us on our social media channels, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Give us a subscribe, 5-star rating, and all of that there. But literally, it was kind of funny. You know, we were talking on the show last week when we were recording, like, the T. Higgins, Jamar Chase news. It could come out in 5 minutes. Well, it wasn't quite 5 minutes.
It did come out, like, what, a couple of hours after we recorded?
I was like, oh, of course it did. But I think for a lot of us, and I think you agree, it was just kind of a, okay, thank you, reaction. Like, it's done. We're not worrying about this anymore. And it's got to make you feel at least pretty good.
Yeah. And it's good to have those two locked up. You know, they've been a dynamic force. T and Jamar Chase have been, you know, constantly talked about it the past 3 years as the best receiver duo in this league. Burrow was pretty adamant on keeping this core, this trio together. It's always been the question ever since that Super Bowl season in 2021 is how are they going to be able to keep the big three together? I think a lot of us are skeptic about it too. I mean, I was one of those that were like, you know, you really can't afford to keep two receivers and an elite quarterback on the same team. You know, and look where we're at now. You know, I'm happy that I'm wrong about it. You know, I'm happy that Jamar and T are going to be a part of the future here. Both are coming off, I think, the best seasons of their careers. Jamar Chase had the triple crown in receiving this past season, and then T had his best graded season and could have been in, you know, Pro Bowl, All Pro discussions if he played all 17 games. I'm pretty happy about the way they shaked out. We'll get into the structure of the contracts at least a little bit. I am by no means a salary cap expert. I was trying to back into the math with the roster bonuses and the signing bonuses, and I was able to do it with Jamar's contract. Wasn't able to quite figure it out with T's. It's not algebra, but it is somewhat complex accounting structure with how the cap hits work.
Borderline calculus.
It might as well be. Like, it's you know, I'm an accountant by day, right? Like, it's somewhat complex accounting work. Figuring out what the hell is going on with how they structure bonuses within the salary cap.
Why don't you just go ahead? Okay, because listen, when we talk about how the salary cap works, I fully admit that I don't really understand a lot of it. So, you being the accountant, I want you to right now, Riley's in here too, explain it to Riley, myself, and our valued listeners, like we're five. What does this mean? The contracts for the Cincinnati Bengals. Explain it to us like we're five.
Yes. So I can explain Jamar's, I think, decently well. So I think that instead of going the signing bonus route, they went with roster bonuses this time around, which I guess there's kind of a difference between how the roster bonuses and the signing bonuses are treated against the cap. Your signing bonuses are prorated over the life of a contract in terms of the cap hit. And that's up to 5 years, whereas your roster bonus, I believe, doesn't necessarily get prorated in that same regard. So what they did with Jamar Chase's contract, instead of, so there's, he got $32 million in roster bonuses. And they could have, this is what James Rapine and Jake Lisco were talking about, that tweet from Andrew Parada, who is a salary cap expert. So that instead of prorating $32 million worth of bonuses for Ja'Marr Chase over his 4-year contract, they prorated $22 million over the next 4 years, and $10 million of that $32 million is a cap hit in 2025. So essentially, you're getting the $8 million base salary of Ja'Marr Chase this year, the $10 million non-prorated roster bonus, and then $5.5 million, which is that $22 million that was prorated. And that is a fourth of that $22 million. And that's shaking out to be $23.5 million per year. If you prorated that entire $32 million, you're looking at $8 million base salary and then $8 million of prorated roster bonus, which only creates a cap hit of about $16 million. So in that, you are essentially sacrificing $7.5 to $8 million in 2025 cap space by structuring these deals the way they did. Now, you can look at it one or two ways, and I think with James Rapine and Jake Lisco, they weren't too happy about this because this pretty much prevents the Bengals from making any more major signings that could further better the roster for the 2025 season. And we have some holes on this roster, if you haven't noticed already. We still are looking for an edge rusher potentially. We are definitely looking at starting guards, which we may have just signed one. We'll talk about him in the next 10-15 minutes or so. Or it could have prevented you from signing a defensive back or another linebacker or whoever the hell, right? So you could look at it that way. And then you can look at it the other way that, well, maybe this gives them a little more future flexibility in 2026, 2027, 2028, which it very well may, but the base salaries of these players are only going to get higher and higher and higher throughout this contract.
The pro is, and I think this might be where you're going, is that the salary cap is going to probably keep going up and up and up and up.
Yes. And also the guarantees will start running out after the, T's guaranteed money is crazy. He's only getting what, 30, 40 million guaranteed?
Yeah, not a lot.
Contract. Because we were thinking, oh, well, he signed only for 28 million a year. They had to have jacked up the guarantees for him to sign this, right? That didn't end up being the case. Even though they are sacrificing some cap space in 2025, like, I don't know how mad you could be when you're only giving him 30, 40 million guaranteed. And if you need to better the roster in other places and you have an out with T, it's easier for you to get out of that contract. I couldn't understand the way that they did T's roster bonus and his signing bonus. I believe it was a $20 million roster bonus, but I think they folded $10 million into one of the years and maybe prorated the other 10. I'm not sure how they necessarily did that, but they said that pretty much sacrificed about $4 million in cap space for 2025 as well. So that's about $11 to $12 million that you could have had in cap space that you really don't have. And right now they have $24 million in cap space, but about 10 of million of that 24 is probably going to be allocated to roster bonuses for existing players on this team. And then another 10 or million or so are probably going to be into the draft picks. So you really don't have much flexibility going forward for 2025.
At the same time, you say this, and it's like the deals are done now.
Yeah.
And in a lot of realms is, let's just say $12 million. Just for the sake of this conversation, is $12 million worth not having to worry about this in the training camp and in the preseason and so on? And knowing that barring something, I mean, you might have one disgruntled player, which we'll talk about here shortly in training camp. But on the offensive side of the ball, you shouldn't have anybody really upset going into next season. No one. Ja'Marr's got paid. T's got paid. Yeah. Joe's got paid. I mean, who's next to get paid on that offense? Offense is, what, maybe a extension for Orlando Brown Jr., but he's still got, maybe, I think, what, 2 years? But that, yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think of anybody. I mean, Mike Gesicki got paid. There's nobody on that team. Oh, Jermaine Burton, right? He needs a contract extension. Well, did you see him hit some half-court shots, right?
I guess a Chase Brown extension may come next offseason. There's a good chance he'll be going into his third year this year, so he'll be eligible. But
running back extensions still, too, are...
They're cheap. Yes. They're cheap. They are cheap extensions. But yeah, and that might be the most priceless factor of this, where are you going to, you may be sacrificing $11, $12 million in cap space, but the most priceless aspect of that is what you just said. You are not going to deal with the headaches during training camp of what the hell is the Bengals front office doing with Ja'Marr Chase? What are they doing with T. Higgins? Why are they not showing up at camp because of this, because of their roster or because of their contract situations and whatnot? You were pretty much eliminating that. There really shouldn't be any drama now going into this training camp, which is honestly a relief for me. Fingers crossed that it doesn't, we don't find some ways to get screwed, just like we have with any training camp over the past 5 years. Yeah, but that's
where I wanted to lead into is, I mean, you think in the Joe Burrow era, 2020 COVID, rookie quarterback,
yep.
2021, he's coming ACL. Off the ACL, 2022, appendectomy, 2023, calf, 2024, Ja'Marr Chase doesn't really practice at all, and T. Higgins gets injured, 48 hours before the opener. I think it was 48 hours. I think it was on the Friday. So you have had all of these. To me, and I know people want to say always, and I think this offseason we're going to need to do another show into defining and breaking down the Bengals' slow starts. Like I don't think the preseason has anything whatsoever to do with the Bengals starting slow. I just don't. I just don't know how 1 to 2 extra drives. I think the risk is more than the benefit. At least that's how I see it. And we might dive further into the numbers again this summer and see that we're wrong on that. To me, you're pointing at those factors that I just missed are the actual reasons as to why the Bengals have started slow over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And this year, you shouldn't, barring injury, knock on wood, you shouldn't have any reason to start slow with it. Now, I saw Riley make the point, and I wanted to go back to this because I actually wrote this down of the media reaction to this. And I get it. A lot of these talking heads say things that they don't actually believe. But it drives me crazy, the whole of why won't they just go ahead and pay him to now? Why are they paying him? It's just like, and I get it. It's easy. The Bengals, because of the way that they're structured, they are an easy franchise to take shots at. But the one that drives me crazy is when people call the Bengals cheap. And listen, there are some aspects of it that they might be. Treatment of families. You can say, is that an aspect of them being cheap? Maybe so. But, I mean, you look through their history. And when they have their guys, for the most part, they keep them. Especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, hell, they made Andy Dalton the highest paid quarterback in the NFL at one point. They made Carson Palmer the highest paid. Yeah, I think Andy Dalton was the highest paid for like a brief set. But still, they paid Andy Dalton a lot of money.
They did. Now, the caveat, Carson Palmer
a lot of money.
So Carson Palmer's was the highest paid contract in the NFL. I know that for a fact. I'm not too sure about that with Andy.
But it doesn't matter. Regardless, it doesn't matter. They paid Andy Dalton a lot of money.
Yeah. We got to also put into perspective here that the Andy Dalton contract may have been the most team friendly quarterback extension that has ever existed, where it was a 7-year contract for Andy Dalton. And maybe 2 of those years were really guaranteed. Like they could have had an out with Andy Dalton any year after 2016. But still, I don't like that. I like to compare the Bengals to that guy in the friend group that just constantly gets shit on all the time. They just find some way to have a negative opinion about the way the Bengals run their operations. Now the Bengals do have to be more economical than pretty much every other franchise at this point. They are the least wealthy ownership group in the league,
but and, they're not poor. Like
not yet, not yet. We got to wait until that estate tax kicks in whenever, whenever that ends up kicking in. But
pretty much, I think, are you saying the Bengals are me? Usually I take all of the shots from you.
I don't. Jerks. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the Bengals are you. Are the you of NFL franchises.
Those poor guys. Explains a lot.
Poor bastards.
Explains a lot. I want you to go on record right now. And we can both go on record. Was this the right decision for the Cincinnati Bengals to sign Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to long-term extension?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Considering how these contracts ended up shaking out, and especially T's contract, yes. They didn't offer T nearly as... T didn't end up signing for nearly as much guaranteed money as I thought he was going to sign for. And also his average annual salary is probably, I would say, $4 to $5 million less than what he would have gotten on the open market with some of these other teams like the Patriots, the Packers, the Panthers, whoever you want to say needed that one desperately wanted a wide receiver one on their team. So with the way that these, especially with T's contract, the way that ended up shaking out, this was the right decision, I think, for this franchise.
The next decision on the docket for the Bengals in the offseason is Trey Hendrickson. And you mentioned the lack of potential drama this offseason. This is the one circle that you can find of if there is a contract drama point or whatever, that it is on Trey Hendrickson. Now, we talked a lot about everything that goes along with this over these last, 6 months or so, really, or really, especially over these last 2 months, since the season ended and all of this started coming out. I ask you this, do the re-signings change how you feel, whether more optimistic or pessimistic about the Bengals re-signing Trey Hendrickson? Or no change at all?
I don't think there's really any change at all. I still think that the Bengals are trying to make it work with Trey. And I think Trey wants to make it work with the Bengals because he loves being here. He loves being a part of this team. He's really loved being around the Cincinnati area, as far as I'm aware, of hearing other pundits that have more information than us saying.
Which is a low bar, if we're being honest.
We really have no information.
We're technically season ticket holders. So technically our money did go into the pocket of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, right?
Potentially, yeah. Yeah,
potentially, no, it did. Potentially some of the dollars that we made went into their pocket.
Your YouTube TV subscription probably goes into that as well. My NFL Plus subscription probably goes into that as well. So, I think we're interested to see how this trade thing shakes out. I personally am still on the side of trading him just because you do have three guys that are going to be, they're going to have higher cap hits down the road potentially. And I don't see the Bengals not retaining these guys. If a player is producing for them, they rarely cut a guy just to save some money. Right. And that's another thing with the Bengals. Yeah. They may not offer the most guaranteed money in the world, but that is money. I was going to say that money is kind of guaranteed just based off of the loyalty factor, like you just said. But with those guys, having higher cap hits, you are going to have to start heavily investing more into the draft. And we haven't had more than seven draft picks in a draft in a really long time, or I guess more than nine. I mean,
last year there was 10.
So I want to see them get in that 10 to 12 range.
And this year they have six.
Yeah. And that's kind of the scary factor with that too, Sam, is that you got to start rebuilding through the draft and just getting in being able to fill out this roster. Now they were able this offseason to sign a bunch of guys to like one to two year deals to fill out that roster pretty much, where you only need probably six guys. But you still, you know, if you're not able to work something out with Trey, you do need to get something out of him, I think.
I am fascinated. Next week, we're going to dive all the way into the first round. And I think one of the topics we're going to have to discuss in the first round is the trade back option. Because if the draft shakes out specific ways, which it could, I think trade back might be an option that they are very much interested in doing. Because if you move back, let's just say from 18 to 24, I don't even know who's picking 24, but just for the sake of conversation, you know, moving back six picks or seven picks, could you pick up an extra second or an extra third or something like that, to where then you are adding more pieces to this realm, especially because the position that the Bengals need the most is edge depth. And there's a ton of edge rushers in this draft.
Yes. And that's a really good point. You know, trading back to get a little more draft capital in this draft is a good way to kind of go about filling out the roster for years to come, because you're able to fill out the roster with these 1 year deals with some of the free agent signings this year. But then again, they are 1 year deals. You need to get guys on four year contracts, rookie draft picks, in order to do so.
Next week, we're going to dive all the way in to those questions and so on when it comes into pick 18. And if the Bengals do make a pick, who are some of the names? Because I feel confident in defensive line, but guard is rising as far as potential for them to make a draft pick. But, you know, maybe there's a wild card. Maybe corner is in the realm. You've seen a lot of mock drafts.
Jadae Barron?
Or some,
question
the,
mark?
the one I've seen mocked a lot recently as well, I think the might have been Dane Brugler's most recent one that he released maybe in the last week or so was Will Johnson.
Will Johnson, if he ends up falling that far. That's a little bit of a caveat where he's, you know, his consensus board rating is right around 11, I think, but there's a good chance he could fall down the draft board a little bit. Just he had a slightly disappointing 2024 season at Michigan. I think he's had a couple of injuries hamper his production a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely a real possibility there as well. But yeah, I mean, just depending on how the draft board shakes out, you could see them trade down potentially. Now, they haven't done that really historically in the first round ever, I don't think.
I'd have to look
other than the Cordy Glenn, the Cordy Glenn trade.
That was trading back, but not really. I guess they did.
You got a starting caliber left tackle out of that.
He was a left tackle.
He was starting caliber in 2018, and then he started. Then he wasn't happy, right?
Yes, no. I think probably the last time was, didn't they trade back on the Kevin Zeitler draft? Didn't they have like 17 and 21, and then they moved back to like 27 or 28 and got Zeitler?
They might have done that. Okay. Now that I'm thinking about it, there's like a good chance they did.
2011? Is that
it? Would have been 2012 okay. Draft, because that was the Trey Kirkpatrick draft, right?
Yes. So I think I can look at that as well, because that was the trade for
Carson Palmer.
Exactly. Yep. Thanks again for the Raiders for that. The Athletic earlier this week, they did their second mock draft for beat writers, and I always love this, because what they do is all of their beat writers, they act as the GM for the team, and they do a first round mock draft. And I think it's a really good way, because these guys know just about anybody about who the teams are going to select. And with the 17th pick, the Cincinnati Bengals take edge rusher Mike Green. I don't know that school that he went to. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, okay, buddy.
But they pass on Will Johnson, pass on Jahad Campbell, pass on Shamar Stewart, Kenneth Green, and Kenneth Grant, rather, a couple of those names. Just
was Jalen Walker available or no?
Let's see here. I can search there. Let's go through. No, he went the pick before.
Okay. Because if we're talking about Al Golden's Viper position, like Jalen Walker would be the best possible outcome for that position that Al Golden's looking to create on this Bengals defense, where he has that equal, where he's had that equal role, that versatile role of being a linebacker and an edge rusher, kind of like a Micah Parsons in some way. So Mike Green, I just looked up the coverage stats. They weren't terrible last year. He had a 69 coverage grade, but he only played 17 nice coverage snaps. whereas, I mean, where you had Jalen Walker, I mean, he pretty much had an equal distribution of being a pass rusher and a coverage guy, 195 pass rush snaps to 178 coverage snaps when facing passing plays. So, I mean, if that guy's available at 17, that might be the best guy for that role in Al Golden's defense. But I'm not going to complain about Mike Green at all.
Next awesome week, we'll dive all the way into all of the names that you need to know as far as first round. Lucas Patrick is now a Cincinnati Bengal. They signed him earlier this week. And for a relatively cheap deal. I think the biggest thing about Lucas Patrick is that he brings some versatility to that position. I mean, he's played both center and guard, which is always a good thing, because if something happens to Ted Karras, you have somebody who has played center in the NFL. Like, we both love Matt Lee, but Matt Lee's never played a snap at center in the NFL yet. And if he did, it was late game, really, you know, I don't know that he ever had a snap last year at center. Graded 75 pass blocking plus in 5 games last year. So he had some really good games, a little bit of inconsistency at times. But the biggest thing with him, hasn't allowed a sack in 2 years.
It's a big deal. He didn't allow a QB hit last year.
I think it's a pretty solid signing.
Yeah, I mean, considering how cheap the deal was, he's had some, like you said, he's had some really good games. He's had some really poor games. So it's kind of like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde little thing going on with Lucas Patrick. But I think it's a good signing. If they're not able to find a starting caliber guard in this draft, you needed to find a guy that could fill out a roster spot here. I'm okay with this signing for sure.
Tevin Jenkins signs with the Browns. It really sounds like, I know Paul Daner came out that apparently that was never an option for the Bengals. I think that, and we touched on it, that there are some red flags with Tevin Jenkins. Health, mm-hmm, is one of the biggest aspects of it. If you've listened to the Growler, you've heard Charlie Goldsmith. Charlie Goldsmith really doesn't like Tevin Jenkins.
Really? Okay.
Like, really doesn't. It's kind of funny that he will take any opportunity he can to talk bad about Tevin Jenkins.
Really? What does he not like about him? I haven't heard
positioning. Positioning as far as guard play, he'll whip sometimes and so on. And it's been a while since I've heard it, but I just remember that he very much was not a fan of Tevin Jenkins. Brandon Scherff is still out there, but it sounds like he's right now making the decision of, do I want to retire or do I want to come back for one more year?
Yeah.
Now, if I were a guy and I was thinking, I want to come back for one more year, what are you probably looking for? A chance to win a ring. What did you think?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you could definitely be looking at that. But also, the Bengals have to have the cap space and the money in order to do that. And
I mean, there are guys on this roster that can still be cut. I mean, you've got Zach Moss. That's not gonna free up a ton.
We're still waiting to see Jermaine Pratt. Yep.
Technically Geno Stone, but I think that is at least gonna stay until the foreseeable future, unless maybe like a Malachi Starks is an option in round one. You know, yeah. or just
Kevin, the guy. Kevin Winston Jr., guy that I talked about when we were looking at our 3-round mock draft. He had a either a meeting at the combine or a player visit with the Bengals over the past month as well.
The guy from Notre Dame too.
Xavier Watts.
So there are options there. So there is money out there that if a guy like Brandon Scherff is potentially an option. Looking ahead for the future for us, next Sunday, we will be here to discuss the first round of the NFL draft. We're going to go all the way in for the Bengals. Who are the options at 18 and so on? April 6th, so 2 weeks from today, we'll go into day two. The week after that will be day three. And then on 420, April the 20th, Mick will be having a nice time talking about his Bengals mock draft. So we're going to go through last year we did, and I think we'll probably do the same game we did last year or something, as far as we each go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or I guess there is no 7. We each pick the first 6 rounds. We get some points based on that and see who could be the most accurate. I know I got Matt Lee last year, and I got one. Oh, McKinley Jackson. They weren't in the right rounds, but then I also got Ryan Rico.
You did.
But I had them drafting him late in the 7th round. So I kind of like went back and retroactively gave myself, I think, half a point, because even though
you got more points than I did. You beat me in the draft game last year.
And I think you might have beat me in the schedule game. I don't remember.
I think we might have tied in the schedule.
We might have tied. Because I think the one I got right was the Panthers game, which I'm guaranteeing now. I know, I think week 2 is my conference this year, so that'll be the Packers game. Guaranteed it. But yeah, so I look forward to that over these next couple of weeks. And then back on Wednesdays on the 23rd, so the day before the draft, we're going to be doing a full first round mock. We did that last year, and I actually think it was a lot of fun. And I think we did a pretty decent job. So we get to hear the sound effect once again, because starting next week, this is what we get to hear. Draft time, because April is coming around. Any parting thoughts here? Because I think we both want to go watch some March Madness, right?
No, hopefully your brackets are still intact. I feel like a lot of them are still intact. We haven't seen a lot of upsets this tournament. It's the second year in a row. Not a lot of upsets have happened.
I mean, the biggest one is Arkansas over St. John's, really.
Really, and that's not much of an upset either, just with Coach Cal, and Arkansas's had a pretty deep roster. So, enjoy watching the rest of the tournament. Go Vols. Go Auburn.
I'm fine with all. I got nothing against Auburn.
Florida. Go Duke.
Now that's a little disgusting. Not even gonna lie. Like that is.
My father isn't watching this.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel if you're gonna get a text message. Not that your dad listens to our podcast. I can't imagine that he does. He's got his other podcasts that he has to listen to. So we're clearly way down the list. From you'll get a text message in 6 months when he's caught up with us.
Oh, he'll never be caught up with us.
Yeah.
But,
He knows better. We'll see you next week. Payne says burn the couches. State Street is coming. Go Cougs, says Riley. I mean, Cougar baseball.
Houston or Grayson County?
Grayson County. They got a big baseball game tomorrow. Breckenridge County coming to town. So we'll see you next week. We'll be talking about the first round. Breaking that down, pick number 18, right? Isn't that what it is?
17.
It was 18 last year, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll break all that down on next week's edition of Jungle Juice. Until then, remember to follow us on our social media channels, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Mick, we'll see you next week.
Yep. See you next week. Hooday. Thanks for watching.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem?
Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. T&Cs apply.